From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to study the book of Joshua as he brings part two of a message entitled Sin Exposed and Expunged. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Made Rich by Faith. The text is found in Psalm 9 and verse 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Poverty is a hard heritage, but those who trust in the Lord are made rich by faith. They know that they are not forgotten of God. And though it may seem that they are overlooked in His providential distribution of good things, they look for a time when all this shall be righted. Lazarus will not always lie among the dogs at the rich man's gate, but he will have his recompense in Abraham's bosom. Even now the Lord remembers His poor but precious sons. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, said one of old. And it is even so. The godly poor have great expectations. They expect the Lord to provide them all things necessary for this life and godliness. They expect to see all things working for their good. They expect to have the closer fellowship with their Lord, who had not where to lay His head. They expect His second advent and to share its glory. This expectation cannot perish, for it is laid up in Christ Jesus, who liveth forever. And because He lives, it shall live also. The poor saint sings many a song which the rich sinner cannot understand. Wherefore, let us, when we have short commons below, think of the royal table above.
Tears are mending flow when my
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Having heard of Israel's victories at Jericho and Ai, the Gibeonites, in chapter 9 of the book of Joshua, came to Joshua with a false tale that they were from a far country. Neglecting to ask for the Lord's guidance, Joshua and the elders of Israel entered into a league with these people. 3 days later, the Israelites discovered that the Gibeonites were but another Canaanite tribe. Reluctant to break his oath to them, Joshua made them slaves to Israel from that day forward. Ultimately, the Gibeonites became workers in the temple. In this message, Dr. Cairns is presenting some important lessons about the deadliness of sin, whether it is hidden or not. The Bible is emphatic that God sees everything in our lives and that he must judge sin. Often, the fear of discovery is the worst part of secret sin, whether it be in the life of a lost person or of a Christian. Both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel found this to be true. Now, to continue this message, Sin Exposed and Expunged, here is Dr. Cairns.
Remember how murmuring and dissension had wrought havoc in Israel in earlier times. This was no small matter. There was great dissension, there was great national debate and national division because of their prayerless presumption. But again, the Lord turned it to good, for He gave them in the Gibeonites friends instead of enemies, and a special and very much respected class of workers for the house of God, for His service ever afterward. Now, as I thought of those things, I thought that we would consider the subject of sin exposed and expunged. To me, those are the two great ideas that this passage of Scripture brings forth. Sin exposed and expunged. And I have three very simple things to remark upon that. First of all, let me note from this passage that even when it lies hidden from human view, sin is a great evil. It is a deadly evil. For a period of time, both the Gibeonites and the children of Israel lived in their sin without discovery and apparently without hurt. It appeared for this time that each of them had been able to flaunt the plain teaching of the law of God and get away with it. But you know, appearances are very deceptive, and that was far from being true. Take the case of the Gibeonites. Think of the unease that the Gibeonites must have felt during that brief period between the success of their trickery and the exposure of their trickery. During that period, they must have lived with a deepening sense of uneasiness. There was always that thought, is there someone or something that is going to expose our treachery? Everything depended on the exact direction that Joshua would take for his next battle. They may have hoped to have got away with this trickery for months. They may have thought it may even have lasted for a year. It turned out very differently, but however the period, or however long the period may have been, there would always be that gnawing of heart and conscience. Will we be exposed? And when Joshua and the princes and the warriors of Israel find out that we who could not withstand them on the battlefield, we have tricked them, what will their reaction be? They have the power to crush us. What will their reaction be? What a picture of a people living in guilt and foreboding because of their sin. The sin of the children of Israel affected them rather more subtly. It would appear that there was at the first no real result in them because of sin. But again, that's only a false appearance. For the truth is that that sin must have tended to harden the hearts of the children of Israel. And believe me, when you read the history of Israel, they needed nothing to harden their hearts. They were always ready to go in that direction. Here were people, and they had been able to flaunt the plain teaching of God's Word. They had been able to set aside the august office of the high priest. God had made very clear arrangements for them to know the will of God by application to Him through His high priest, and they had simply set all that aside. Even Joshua had not taken time to go and get alone with God and seek the face of God. Nothing happened. No evil came upon them, apparently. There is nothing that will more harden people's hearts in an evil course than the beginnings of that course apparently going unjudged. So sin was working subtly in Israel to rob them of their vital communion with the Lord. We tend to think that the terror of sin lies in our being found out. That's a very ancient feeling. That goes back as far in history as man goes back to the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, they certainly felt some guilt for their sin. But to them, the great terror was not that they had sinned. The great terror was in being found out. They hid themselves from God. That has run like a poisoned river throughout the whole of human history. I remember as a young boy getting a gift, I think it was for Christmas. It was a set of books. We certainly in those days, you would never have been able to get Encyclopedia Britannica or anything like that, and it would have been far beyond my reading capabilities at that time. But I remember I got this beautiful set of books. It's always been a grief that I gave them away. And somebody else now has them as an adornment, this old set of beautifully bound books called Newton's Pictorial Knowledge. And it was full of Greek mythology, history, various things that would interest a young fellow and get him reading and get him to go further. It was very well conceived. One of the things that fascinated me about it, and I read it again and again, was the story. I'm sure many of you have read it too in other places. The story of a young boy from ancient Sparta. The Spartans had a code of ethics that said you can do whatever you want, but just don't be found out. You will not be punished for what you do, but you will be punished, even to death, for being found out. I remember being entranced as I read the story of this young boy who had stolen, turned out to be a little fox, and he had stuffed it inside his tunic. And he was stopped on the road and challenged, but he daren't admit that he had stolen anything. And so the fox began to gnaw and to chew. And he still, through the blood and the pain, he could never admit. When he walked away a true Spartan, but injured to death. That made a great impression on my young mind. I don't think I thought through all the ethical considerations. What, at maybe 9 or 10 or years of age, whatever it was. But nonetheless, the seed was planted. How wicked. How foolish. How self-destructive. To have this notion that to steal or to cheat or to kill is all right. The terror is in being found out. We all have something of that within us. But the truth is that sin is always dangerous. It is always ruinous. And as I, as a young boy, read again and again the story grippingly told of a young fellow of my own age from ancient times, I realized he had not been found out, but it killed him nonetheless. Sin is always deadly. Sin is always ruinous. And let me tell you that it is ruinous not only to sinners, but it is ruinous to saints as well. Sin is a very evil thing. whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. Take the Gibeonites. There are some people whose sin lies hidden, like the sin of the Gibeonites, and maybe this is exactly how you are today. You don't appear to be what you know you are before God. And like these Gibeonites, you go through life and you're pursued by guilt. You have the hounds of shame biting at your heels. You're being tracked by the law of God. There is this deep sense of uneasiness, this awful foreboding of being found out, this fear of the moment of exposure, this fear of the coming judgment. What a way to live. Sin is ruinous to you now, to say nothing of the eternity to come. And then there are others who suffer as the Israelites did, without any great apparent traumas in their lives because of their sin, yet sin is working insidiously against them, hurtfully, and hardening their hearts against God. I often think of that terrible 8th chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was taken by the Lord in the vision, and what he calls the visions of God, to Jerusalem. The Lord let him see inside the city. And then he let him see inside the temple. And this is what you find. He saw sin hidden. God says, go a little further, and you'll see deeper sin, more deeply hidden. There's that awful statement. Really, we could take it right out of the context and we could think of this in a very topical way. He said, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. Originally, that was speaking of chambers of idolatry. But the English there is very suggestive. God says, do you see what people are doing in the hidden places? In the chambers of their own imaginings. In the chambers of their own imagery. In the chambers where they think they are far from human view. Do you see what they are doing? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. That is, God is no longer judging. If ever He judged the world, He's not doing it anymore. If these Old Testament stories are true of God intervening with judgment against people and cities and states and nations because of their sin, it's not true anymore. You look at what is happening in the nations of the world. You look at the great cities of filth and wickedness. And where is the judgment of God? Oh, how many people have that kind of sin? It just hardens their heart. Makes them think that God has forgotten to judge. I tell you, my friend, they have come to altogether wrong conclusions. God still does judge.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.